first several verses just to get the context here, and we can learn something here. But the title of my sermon, if you're taking notes, is How Can You Tell When Someone's Been With Jesus? How can you tell when someone's been with Jesus? And it will be obvious, as we'll see in this story, that these people, there was no doubt for the onlookers. There was no doubt to the people that they were looking at. It was no doubt to everybody in this situation, in this story, that Jesus had been met with, he had been talked to, he had led them in all these situations. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. It was obvious in this story that these men had been with Jesus. And when we see people, like for instance, when you hear a preacher preach like Brother Benny, when he preached, it was obvious to me that he had been with Jesus. He had studied, he had prayed, he had brought the message that the Lord told him to bring. And it was excellent, and so forth. And if we don't praise him, the rocks will start praising him. And so you could tell he had spent time in prayer. He had spent time listening to the Holy Spirit. He had spent time reading the Bible, things like that. And so it was obvious. And so we ought to do that. It ought to be obvious to people that we work with that we've been with Jesus. It ought to be obvious to our mates and our children that live in the house that we have been with Jesus. And our responses and our reactions and what we do and what we say and how we act will be because we've been with Jesus, if it's the right way. And so in chapter 4 we see here, and they spake unto the people and the priests, and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And so, of course, obviously there were some people here that was doing the right thing. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching, Jesus and so forth. Then there was the other side that did not want to hear it and did not want to do this, and it grieved them. And so sometimes, I've seen people before as I'm walking up their sidewalk, and you can see in the living room or whatever, and they see the church people, and you see the reaction. They're and then sometimes you'll see, they'll start shutting things, turning lights off. And here they come, and so forth. And just like the young man that Brother Steve talked about, he said, I know what you want me to say to you. All right, he knew, and so forth. And so we see that these people knew what they were going to say, heard what they were going to say, and they were upset about it. And it says they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening. So they basically arrested them for preaching the gospel. And it was later in the evening, so they took them, and I don't know if they put them in jail, put them in chains or whatever, but they kept them there till the next evening or the next day. So howbeit, many of these which had heard the word believed, and the number of these men or the men were about 5,000. So unbelievable salvation experiences here. They had 5,000 men believe what they were preaching. And of course, it upset the ones that did not believe in it. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and so they're like, okay, we stopped them last night, we've held them up, and now we got to deal with it. And it says who all dealt with it and things like that, and who came together and things. And then we'll skip on down to verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name do you have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was a good thing for Peter. A lot of times we see in the Bible where Peter, not being filled with the Holy Spirit, running off at the mouth. But here, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done of this impotent man, by what means he was made whole. And so there was one there with them that they had prayed for, touched, and Jesus had healed him. But it says here, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. And so he's getting pretty bold here and so forth. And it says here, but then God raised him from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And so he died. Y'all crucified him, but God rose him from the grave, and now he's ascended back into heaven, and he's left us here. And we've had 5,000 people get saved, and here's a man that was impotent. He could not walk, and Jesus healed him, and that's why he's standing here. So this is the stone which thou set it not, and you builders, which you is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under or other name under heaven given by among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So there's the where our title comes from. How can you tell if someone's been with Jesus? And they marveled. So it was obvious. And we'll read some more of these verses as we get there. But this is what, as by way of introduction, we ought to, grow and become closer to the Lord, things like that, in our relationship so people can tell. Now, a lot of Christians, I've seen them, you know, they get the how-to and the whys and the why-nots and what to-dos and what not-to-dos, and it's almost like a checklist. And they go down through there and say, okay, I've prayed today, I've read today, I smiled today, and I've done this, things like that. And so again, they're trying to, I guess, maybe impress people. And so sometimes we'll say things to try to impress people. It could be spiritual, it could be just our basic knowledge, things like that. So we're trying to do what we do to impress. These guys, I mean, it was impressive what they did, but it was more than an impression, it was an effect. So what we ought to do, we ought to spend time in the Word of God, we ought to spend time praying, we ought to spend time witnessing, we ought to spend time helping people, not to impress them, but to infect them. And so these guys were affected. They didn't believe, and they were mad, but they were affected. So a lot of times we try to impress people, but in our impressions most of the time will eventually wear off. But if we've affected them, they can't get away from it. And that's why these guys got so upset. They couldn't get away from it. I mean, because there's the guy that they've seen day in and day out, impotent. He's standing there whole. They weren't impressed, they were affected. And so a lot of times we try to, I guess, you can impress someone by your knowledge and it still not affect them. We can impress someone by our talent and they're still not affected. We can actually impress people by maybe some possessions that we have and it still doesn't affect them. But if we take our knowledge and add God to it, effect. We take our talent and add God to it, it will affect. Even possessions that we have, if we'll add God to it, it will affect. So many, many times in the Bible we saw people take their possessions, sell it, and give it to God. All right? That wasn't impressive, that made an effect. These people really mean what they think. They really mean what they say. They're putting their money where their mouth is. So that makes an effect, not an impression. So a lot of times an impression will eventually wear off, but if you affect somebody, they can't shake it. And that's what we prayed for. I know Brother Dave witnessed to those fellows, and Brother Steve witnessed to that fellow, and we're praying that what they said makes an effect. They can't shake it. They might have been impressed. These guys are spiritual. These guys are nice. They're concerned about my eternity. That would have been impressive. But something they said from the Bible and the Holy Spirit works on them. That's an effect. And so that's why we ought to do what we do, not to impress, but to affect. There are many things that we put too much emphasis on other than our relationship with God. There's how-to books, whether it be workplace how-tos or spiritual how-tos. It's all this stuff. This is how you're going to affect people. This is how you're going to affect people. And we put too much emphasis on it. If we'll just have a relationship with God and do what God tells us to do, there's the effect. But a lot of people, they put it on our personality. You got to have a beaming personality to infect people. And so we work on our personality. Again, nothing wrong with having a good personality. Nothing wrong with not being a bump on a log or not being a Nothing wrong with having a little bit of personality, but we need God. We put too much emphasis on the personality. Charisma, leadership skills. Our knowledge, and we're putting all the emphasis on there where we need to have the relationship with God. A lot of people, they try to be in the know, or they have to have companions, or I got this many followers, or I got this many likes, and they're trying to impress people. That's not going to affect them. I mean, you can have boo-hoos of followers and still not affect people. A lot of people, they call it dressing for success, our wardrobe. We're trying to impress people. And so forth. So in verse 13, we see here that they saw these guys that they were unlearned and ignorant. And so it wasn't their knowledge that affected them, but they were affected. Verse 14 says here, they saw that these men, I guess in verse 14, I don't think I read that. It says here, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. They were affected. Impressed, they could have blown it off. Affected, they couldn't do anything with it. What do we do? How do we get away from this? So we're going to look at five things here tonight. How can you tell when somebody's been with Jesus? How can you tell when somebody's been with Jesus? Number one, they will be living in His Word. They will be living in His Word. These guys, that's what they were doing. They weren't preaching their own thoughts. They weren't preaching their message. They were preaching Jesus' message. They were preaching Jesus' thoughts. So you could tell they had been living in the Word, the portion that they had at that time. But John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's pretty important, the Word of God. And you could tell that these guys had been with Jesus. Now, when you see a person, they get asked a question, and they respond by quoting a verse. Or they respond by, well, in the Bible, it says. And so it'll be obvious that person's been in the Word of God. Psalm 138:2 says this, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And so Jesus was telling these guys, all right, here's the scripture. You take it, you live it, you preach it. This is what will affect people. This people will be able to tell that you've spent time with me if you're in the Word. John 6:35 says this, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So they will be affected, not impressed, with the Word of God. We'll look at a few things about the Word of God. First of all, we see here, we just read it, it's the bread of life. In other words, it will sustain us. If I'm going to try to affect people, I'm going to have the Word of God. I can only impress so far. But if I have the Word of God, if it sustains me, it will be beneficial to affect people, not just impress. Ephesians 5:26 says this, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the Word. Or washing of the water by the Word. So not only is it the bread of life and it will sustain us, the Bible calls it, it's the water of the Word. In other words, it'll cleanse us. That's one thing my wife and I, we've had this conversation before. Obviously, our boys are grown. They're married. They have their own kids. But we talk about it. You know, we didn't want to squelch them. We didn't want to keep them from having everything. The way we looked at it is, you know, we don't want them to stay in our house forever. We want them to get married. Why? Because we got married. We enjoyed getting married. We want them to have a job. We want them to have a house. We want them to have children, things like that. We want them to experience everything that we had the privilege of experiencing. But we always say if we could just do it one time, you know, one night, we would take when they were about, let's see, 5 and, well, no, a little older. Let's say 8 and 6, right after a bath. All right, and you have the little Johnson & Johnson that doesn't make them cry, and you smell that in their hair, and you know, you're holding them in their PJs. All right, if we could have one night, that would be it. Okay, because we don't forget that, and so that clean, because boys, we never had girls, and I guess I've heard that they can be pretty smelly too, but in socks and you know and things like that. But boys, we know they stunk. Okay, that gym bag. They were supposed to have their, I guess, practice jersey washed every night, and they would forget to turn it in sometimes, and they would have to put it on the next day. And I would, you know, they would tell me they'd be down there doing push-ups, and that waftiness of that practice jersey would just like kill them. All right, so I know they stunk, but after that bath, and that baby shampoo and that smell. Oh, it was just, and just holding them. All right. So we see here that the Word of God, it will sustain us, but it'll also cleanse us. You go through this world, people just talk horribly. You talk to a contractor, you talk to somebody on the phone, and it's just beep, beep. You know, there's no beep. You actually hear it. Okay. And you're like, ugh. And then you just drive through down the road, and you see stuff, and you just get dirty in this world. But you get to the Word of God, and you start reading it, it will clean you up. So we see here, how can you tell if somebody's been with Jesus? Because they've been in the Word. They're living in the Word. Because it's the bread of life, it's also cleansing. It also says here in Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks into pieces?" So not only is the Word of God, it will sustain us because it's the bread of life. It will cleanse us because it's the water of the Word. It will also break off those rough edges because it's the Word. It's like a hammer. Again, I'm not a sculpture person, but I've seen people sculpture. That's what they do. They take the hammer and the chisels and they just chip off the stuff that they don't want there. When you read the Word of God, that's what it'll do. The Holy Spirit will start chipping off stuff. And you see somebody that's sculptured something and it's beautiful, you're like, wow. That's what happens when you've been with Jesus and you've been in the Scripture. It'll knock off the rough edges and you'll say, how in the world did they do that? It's because of the Word of God. The next thing, not only is it bread of life and water and the hammer, it's also, the Bible says in James 1:23, "For if any man hear of the Word and be not a doer," I'm sorry, "for if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed to that same image from glory to glory even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So not only is it the bread of life and it's the water of the Word and it's a hammer, but it's also a mirror. It tells us, and it says right there in 2 Corinthians how that if we'll stay in the Word of God, it'll change us from image to image. When you look in a mirror, that's what it tells you. It tells you, hey, you have bedhead when you just get up. And it's all like going crazy. All right, I don't have enough to have bedhead. But anyway, some of you do. The mirror tells you that. The mirror tells you you got bags under your eyes. Or the mirror will tell you, your teeth have a fungus on them, so you need to brush them. It will tell you. And you just follow that mirror, and it fixes the hair, and it brushes the teeth, and it gets the makeup covering all the bags and so forth. It helps. And it, when you look in the Word of God, if you're affected by the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it'll do. It'll just change you. Image by image. So it's not only a bread of life and the water of the Word and the hammer, it's also a mirror. The next one, the Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a fire? So we see the Word of God has lots of things to say about it. It's the bread of life. It's the water of the Word. It will cleanse you. It will knock off the rough edges. It will show you what you need to change like a mirror. But it's also a fire. It says in Psalm 39:3, it says here, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue." So anybody that witnesses with their tongue, or anybody that shares a testimony with their tongue about the Word of God and what God's done for them, or anybody that teaches a Sunday school lesson or preaches a sermon, this is what it is. It's a fire. And that person will be not impressed, but they will be affected by the Word of God. And let's see if there's a couple more here. Nope. That's all of number one. We see here we ought to read the Word of God. We ought to study the Word of God. We ought to memorize the Word of God. We ought to teach the Word of God. We ought to preach the Word of God. We ought to live the Word of God. How can you tell if somebody's been with Jesus? Because they're living in the Word. Number two, how can you tell if somebody's been with Jesus? Because they will be listening to the wise. They will be listening to the wise. The first thing that pops into my head about this is when Jesus was a teenager. And they had went over to do the Passover and so forth, and they were going back home. And I believe the Bible says it was a 2 or 3 day journey that they had been on, and they just thought, Jesus, oh, he's back there, you know, kind of like the teenagers around here. They're cutting up, they're talking to somebody, they're doing their own thing. And so they get there, and they're, where's Jesus? And where's Jesus? And where's Jesus? Nobody had seen him. So they go all the way back over there, and they found him in the temple as a teenager, and he's astonishing them with his, not necessarily his vocabulary, but his knowledge about God and his knowledge about the Scripture and the knowledge about the times and things like that. And they were dumbfounded. They were astonished. They weren't impressed. They were affected. And so just like Jesus was being wise, the Bible says, Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So a person that's been with Jesus, you'll know because they've listened to the wisdom of the Word and wisdom of godly people that's influenced them. Proverbs 24:6 says this, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and with the multitude or in multitude of counselors there is safety. So when you see somebody and they not only impress you, but they affect you, and you're like, they must have been with Jesus. It'll be because they've been living in the Word. Secondly, it'll be because they were listening to the wise. A person that's listening to the wise will find a way. Some people, they just go to and fro, the Bible says, or they saunter, or they just bounce around. They're not, you know, doing anything. No, a person that's listening to the wise will find the way of the wise people. They will find the wisdom. Then it says here, they will make their war. Because if we're going to, I guess, prove that we've been with Jesus, it's going to be a fight. If we're going to do the wise thing, it's going to be a fight. You're going to have to make war. But then it says here, kind of ironic that you talk about war, but then you talk about safety. There's people that have been in wars and been, you know, weapons shooting everywhere, foxholes, bombs, grenades, IEDs, all that kind of stuff, and they've made it through. Some of them made it through wounded, but they made it through. And so they would say, how did you make it through safe? Most of them, especially if they're a Christian, they'll give the credit to God. So we see here that if we're going to affect people and show them that we have been with Jesus, we're going to have to be in the Word, listening or live in the Word. We're also going to have to listen to the wise. So how can I tell if somebody's been with Jesus? Number one, they will be living in the Word. Number two, they will be listening to the wise. Again, I remember as a teenager thinking I knew everything. And no, anybody, you don't have to testify, but you know, my parents were, you know, I know enough, I can make it, and things like that. I wasn't very wise. Made mistakes. And then, you know, you get older and then you start asking, like the Bible says, those gray hairs, those people that are down the road a little further than me. What do you think I should do? How should I handle this? Things like that. Again, when I'm going to make a decision like that, let's say financially, I try to make wise decisions financially, and you know, obviously the first thing is tithe. My next is give some offerings to missions, to vision, things like that. Then take care of my bills, be honest, pay my debts, things like that. Plan for the future, what do you do, and things like that. And so there's a fellow that I always call when it comes to financial decisions. He has a degree in accounting. He's older than I am. He's very, blessed for the future. And I was like, what should I do? And when he tells me, I don't go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know what I say? Yes, sir. Why? Because I can tell. He's been with Jesus. He's smarter than I am, things like that. And so that's what we have to do, is listen to the wise. Number three, how can you tell when somebody's been with Jesus? Not only will they be living in the Word and listening to the wise, thirdly, they will be laboring in His work. They will be laboring in His work. Why do you do what you do? I owe Jesus a debt. That's what they asked Paul, Apostle Paul. Why? Used to, you persecuted churches. Now you're starting them on every corner. Why? I love the Savior. He was laboring in the work. And again, there's a lot of people that talk spiritual and talk Christianity and talk God, but what are they doing for him? You can tell that that person's not been with Jesus. It's all talk. But if we have been with Jesus, we will be laboring in the work. Proverbs 16:3 says this, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So it's going to take work. Like we saw Sunday, every pew was filled, chairs back there, and we talked about that building over there. We talked about the future, things like that. That's in my thoughts. But it's not going to happen just because we think it. It says here, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and then thy thoughts shall be established." So in other words, what we have to do is work at being a good Christian. Work at knowing the Scripture. Work in inviting people. Work in witnessing to people. Just keep on working and keep on working and keep on working, and the thoughts will take care of themselves. That's what it says right there. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." He'll bring it to pass. And so we have to work, but trust Him. Proverbs 18:9 says this, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Again, we've all wasted time. They call it, I guess, the wormhole, the Facebook wormhole or the Instagram wormhole. You go down into that thing. In other words, you sit on the couch and you start. 4 hours later, you're like, "Ugh!" I mean, you might have seen some funny things, and you might have saw something that you learned some things like that. But we got to be careful. We can waste time. And it says here, he that is slothful in his work. Again, I would try to balance it out. Again, I'm not against any of those things, and you can have those things, but be balanced. But he also that is slothful in his work is a brother of him that is a great waster. Proverbs 20. Verse 11 says this, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right." Again, those of you that have children, you can tell what your kid's doing. And you walk in the room and their eyes get about this big around, and they look at you, and "Hey!" And "What are you doing?" "Nothing." You know, all right? You can tell by their doings. They're up to no good, and so forth. Or if they'll come in there and they start telling you, like, "Dad, have you lost weight? What do you want?" And, they're buttering you up. You can tell by their doings whether it be pure or whether it be right. So even a child is known by his doings. So if we want to be with Jesus, if we're going to try to show people that we've been with Jesus, we're going to be laboring in his work. So we ought to find something to do. Again, I don't even call it work. To me, I guess this is my job as being a pastor, but it's not like work. hanging drywall, that's like work. All right? Oh, my goodness. And I'm about finished, amen. But anyway, that's like work. But, if you want to call singing working for the Lord, doesn't feel like work. If you want to call knocking doors work, doesn't feel like work to me. Going to a nursing home and helping someone have a good afternoon or taking the gospel to them, that's not like work. I've never worked in the nursery. That may be light work, okay? Especially if there's diaper changing involved, things like that. That could be working for the Lord. Working in a children's church or a Sunday school class, even cleaning the church isn't like work to me. I don't mind vacuuming. I don't mind scrubbing the commodes. I don't mind wiping down counters, things like that. I don't mind doing that. That's for the Lord. But we ought to do something. And outside work, I pulled some, I guess they're wild onions, out of the flower bed the other day. My hand stunk for hours. I mean, I'm trying to wash them. I'm trying to put my wife's smelly stuff on there, still onions. All right. So note to self, get a pair of gloves or, do something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That stuff smells. But anyway, I pulled some out of the flower bed. That's not work to me. It looked great when I pulled up tonight. Tell the guy, he's been here mowing again. It looks wonderful. Outside, do something for the Lord. Be involved in His work. How can you tell if somebody's been with Jesus? They'll be living in the Word. They'll be listening to the wise. They'll be laboring in His work. Number four, they will be lifting up His name in witnessing. They will be lifting up His name in witnessing. Look back at our text in verse 18. It says this, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." So again, they caught them preaching. 5,000 people got saved. A man got healed. They put him in jail for a little while. Then they're saying, what are you doing? Called him. It says here, "And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." So I know that he's saying basically the Bible says, render to Caesar which is Caesar's, and at all possible get along and things like that. Obey the law, things like that. And he's saying basically the law is telling me not to preach. And whether that be right or not, you take it up with God. Verse 20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So we're going to keep preaching. And so if somebody's been with Jesus, they can't help it. They're going to be lifting His name up. Put me in jail if you want to. Even kill me if you want to. But I can't help but speak the things which I have seen and heard. So when you've been in the Bible, you can't help but talk about it, because it'll speak to you. When you get cleaned by the Word of God, you can't help but just love it, because it helps you. You get involved in listening to wisdom and you get involved in the work. You can't help but talk. So if you've been with Jesus, you'll be lifting up His name in witnessing. Acts 1:8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." You won't be able to help it. If a person is just witnessing all the time, witnessing all the time, witnessing all the time, hopefully he's not doing it for an impression, but it should affect. The Bible says the Word of God will not return void. So if I'm giving it out, giving it out, giving it out, it won't return void. It will affect somebody. So how can I tell if somebody's been with Jesus? They will be living in the Word. They will be listening to the wise. They will be laboring in His work. They will be lifting up the name of Jesus in witnessing. And lastly, we'll finish with this one. They will be led by the Spirit in their walk. They will be led by the Spirit in their walk. Again, you see two different people maybe get chewed out by the boss. One's kicking stuff over, cursing, saying, "Ugh," and the other one just sitting there, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." How can you do that? I'm just led by the Spirit in my walk. Again, it's hard. Somebody cuts you off, you want to cut them off back. But if we're going to be led by the Spirit in our walk, go ahead. Last night at Home Depot, I was going to the place where you load stuff. And I'm waiting on this other car to go around. This guy comes behind me. I can't go anywhere. All right? And like, but I'm like trying to be led by the Spirit in my walk. So again, if you've been with Jesus, it will affect you, and in turn, it'll help affect others. So my conclusion is this: I know, and you know, when you've been with Jesus, no doubt. Hey, when I'm in the Word of God, I can tell. When I'm working for Him, I can tell. When I'm witnessing for Him, I can tell. I can tell it. I know it. And just like you know and I know when we've been with Jesus, it's that obvious to other people. Okay? It'll be that obvious. These people could tell. In verse, 13, was it? Yeah. "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." They weren't just impressed, they were affected. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So just like you can tell, if I'm like way away from Him, I can tell. But if I'm right there close to Him, doing the things that I should do, acting like I should act, I can feel His presence. I know it's that obvious to those watching us too. And that's what happened here. These guys, they've been on fire witnessing and preaching and teaching, and 5,000 people got saved. That got somebody's attention. And they're like, hey, you've got to quit that. Well, if that's what you say, but we're not going to quit. And they kept on. So how can you tell when somebody's been with Jesus? All these things with the L's and the W's. So let's do our best to be with Jesus. Again, not to impress anybody, but to let Him affect. Let Him affect. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, thank You for this story. Lord, these men, they were in the Word of God. They were right with You. They were full of the Holy Spirit. They were doing exactly what You created them to do. And it got some people's attention. Even got them in trouble. But Lord, they couldn't help but speak of the things that they had seen and heard. And Lord, I ask You to help us to be with You to the point that we can, it can be told that that person's been with Jesus. And Lord, we just ask You to bless our church. Lord, be with the church service this Sunday. Lord, help us have visitors. Lord, help us do our part to invite. In Jesus' name, amen.